You're tuning on Gordon GD's channel. Please stand by.
Hi, it's Gordon. I hope you're doing fine. Today I wish to explain in some detail the differences between impairment and disability according to the social model. For those who don't know, the social model view of disability is a model that has been developed by disabled people themselves based on their own experience in a society that has changed over the years. Now, there may be different approaches to disability, and I may go through these approaches as they come up during history in the world. The first approach is called the moral model, because in this approach, disability is based on the idea that having an impairment, or parents who have a child born with an impairment, must have done something sinful or wrong. And there is this element that binds together moral degradation with having a child with impairment. Now, while of course we have gone in the West at least beyond this moral and religious superstitious idea of impairment as sin, but you'll find some societies in Africa where there is still a culture of magic and a magical thinking or the way where disabled people are still perceived, actually people having impairments are still perceived as products of sin or evil, or of evil beings. And second way, the second approach to disability is perhaps more familiar to you. It's called the medical model of disability. And in this model, that has dominated the healthcare professional, this medical model holds that our problems as disabled people are rooted in impairment, and obviously the way to deal with this is either to pursue a cure or as rehabilitation and care. So this is the second approach that most of us are familiar with perhaps. And the idea that there exists a group called disabled people actually emerged when nations and states were becoming more industrialized, which meant that at one point in Western history especially, disabled people or people with impairments, to be correct, were excluded from the world of work, because obviously the factories that were being built, and we're talking at the time before the explosion of information technology, disabled people were thus limited by their impairments and had little participation in the labor market because they couldn't use the machinery which was often designed for quote-unquote normal workers. And so the task of identifying who was, who deserved to receive benefits or to be relieved from work was given the power to decide was placed upon the health professionals, doctors, nurses, physiotherapists, who would assess whether that person, who later was known, was defined as a disabled person, was deserving of being, of not working, of not contributing to the economy. And this obviously had the effect of more institutions and eventually the exclusion of many disabled people from society, which I shiver if I think about it, if I had been born in the early 20th century, I probably would have a different life than today. And finally, disabled people from around the world, such as in the US, there was the Berkeley University, and in the UK, I read about the struggles of the now dismantled organization, which was a pioneer in defining disability. This organization, the Union of the Physically Impaired Against Segregation, helped to redefine the problem. And instead of concluding that impairment was the problem in terms of social inclusion and participation, although, of course, there are limits to what you can do with particular impairments. So, but however, the UPIS emphasized the fact that it wasn't impairment as such which was creating the greatest difficulties as far as social participation and inclusion is concerned, but rather the way the society was organized. And while we may think that the case that impairments actually are cause of all our problems as people with impairments, if you think about it, even other social groups such as women, because women are physiologically different than men, their workplace sometimes need to be adapted, and their needs should be acknowledged and adapted to. So disabled people made a strong argument that emphasized that many of our problems today and yesterday are caused actually by a failure of society to take little or no account of people with impairments in society. So there you have it. And while, as I said, impairment poses its particular challenges, thanks to progress in technology and information technology as well, disabled people like myself nowadays can do many things that non-disabled people can do. And another thing that really irritates me is when they describe people with impairment or disabled people as people with special needs. And in a way it's funny, but on the other hand it's quite untrue. Because while I may use a wheelchair to travel or use a screen reader to access information due to my physical and visual impairments, it's usually I don't depend on the wheelchair or screen reading software as such. What I need in when using this technology is really to reach, to attain the same goals, the same needs as everyone else. I may do them, I may travel using a wheelchair or access information using a screen reader, but the fact remains that I need to travel, and I don't know about you, but we all need to travel in society today. And secondly, using a screen reader fulfills my need of information, so it's we must make a difference between the needs and the means. In a way, I may use unconventional means to achieve the goals of walking or accessing information. But it's not that I have a special need. I don't need a wheelchair as such or a screen reader as such. If there was another technology that made it possible for me to achieve those goals. And another point while I'm at it is to make a distinction between equality and same treatment, same rights. Now, this is controversial because equality and same treatment are not the same, are not similar things. For example, if you provide me with the same opportunities to, let's say, go to a conference, and this conference will take place on the third story of a building where there is no lift, yes, you are treating me the same, but such a thing doesn't put things on a level playing field, because at times we need to provide the means to reach equal rights. You may say that you treated me the same, but you hadn't treated me equally, which is a very often overlooked difference. Well, I hope that you liked that you enjoyed listening, and I provided you with some new insight into how and what disability is and how disabled people understand disability. Feel free to contact me via social networks and also via email. If you enjoyed this episode, I plan to produce more of the kind, so I would really like to know what you think about. Thanks very much for listening.
You can get in touch with Gordon by emailing him at zonemind.starchild@gmail.com. Kindly make sure you include the word boo in your mail.
For more content by Gordon, please visit http://www.gordongd.com. Thanks for listening. GordonGD.com is now on Facebook. Visit www.gordongd.com to get started.